Thank you, Brother Melvin. Thank you so very much. And it's a wonderful opportunity to be here and to speak to each of you out there, whether you're at home, in the car, or wherever you are, at the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus on KRAJ 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley, right here in the Antelope Valley. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to share a word with you today. Would you join me as we ask the Lord to help us with this? Our Father, we come to you now, thanking you for the opportunity to just speak as you speak to the heart of my brothers and sisters, be they boys or girls, it doesn't matter. Your word is all in all to everyone, and we thank you for it. Bless us now, anoint our voices, our understanding, and even the hearers that will receive this today. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I spoke last Saturday morning at one of our local churches last Saturday morning at 11 o'clock for Bishop Clifton Edwards' 30th anniversary, which was held at the Pastor Darrell Doris' church right here in Lancaster. And Sunday morning, I spoke at Ed Benson's church for his morning service. And in both of those services, I spent some time talking about the reality, the truth about how things work or don't work. So I started by letting them know very clearly that you don't know, you and I do not know what is going on in the heart of anybody, but the Lord does. Now, when I grew up in a little town, little community known as the Bahia, Mississippi area, and I went to church at the New Zion Baptist Church. Well, by the time I got 14 years old, all of the old people were saying, oh, we got to do something with this boy because he is anointed with the word. And they would go on and on about my ability to deliver the word. And I was only 14 years old. So they ordained me as an actual deacon in the New Zion Baptist Church at 14 years old. But now here's the thing that I'm bringing out to you today. Our thought today is the reality of the word of God, the reality of the word. But now watch this. During this period, I could not allow myself to accept an unseen God. All I knew is what Mama Nim, if you ever heard Mama Nim, what Mama Nim told me. But it didn't make sense to me because the people who had the power, the people who had the big houses, the people who we had to get out of the street and let them buy were all white. So I was ugly about that. I began to develop a hate with that kind of a thing. So the point I want to make here is these people selected me, ordained me as a deacon, and did not know the real heart of the noise that was in my head, that noise of doubt, or the noise of the reality of God. Because I never seen God. I never touched God. I never met him face to face. And all of these things put a doubt in my mind. Now, I was in my 20s when I really, really understood it. In fact, when I was on my way overseas during the Korean War in 1953, and then I'm going to need to get on with the word. I'll be spending too much time in my testimony here. But when I was on the way on the boat, it was 30 days on the boat on my way to Yokohama, Japan, and then got off the boat there, and then they put us on a train and shipped us all over South Korea. Well, all right. On the boat, a boy, white boy, I went up on top of the deck and said, anybody want to play checkers and get beat? And this boy raised his hand and said, I'll do it. I'll take you on. Tall white boy. Well, I wasn't happy with that because he was white. And I had this ugliness in my head against all white. But we played 20 games and he never won a one. And then I said, Bob, that was his name, I need somebody who can give me some competition. And as I got up to leave, Bob grabbed me by the arm and he said, Henry, do you know Jesus? I said, of course, I go to church. And he said, no, Henry, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking not just you go to church, but do you really know him from the word? And that's when he began to put doubt in my doubt. Now, did you get that? He put doubt in my doubt. I'm doubting God. Now he comes up, read his New Testament, and then was that Mark, I think it's Mark 12 and 29. I believe that's correct. Where he showed me that the first of all the commandments is to hear, O Israel, the Lord is one God. And then he took me to Hebrews 11 and 6. And then he took me to Romans 10, 9 and 10. And when that little brother, white boy, got through with me, I had doubts about my doubts. So now I'm really confused about the reality of God, but he had me thinking about the reality of God's word. So what I'm trying to say to you all this morning is God's word is real, but it cannot be real if you cannot believe it's real. Now that doesn't change the fact that it is real, but it does change the effect of how it fits into your life. So I'm saying to you today, and I'm going to give you all the scriptures just in case I don't get a chance to cover them. The very first scripture I'm going to cover is St. John chapter 1 and the first 5 verses. And then the second scripture I'm going to cover is Matthew chapter 8, verses 6, 7, and 8. Then the third scripture I'm going to cover is Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And then the fourth scripture, you say, are you going to cover all those? I doubt it. Acts chapter 27, verses 20 through 25. And then the last scripture is Matthew 7, 24 and 25. So let's head off and see how far the Lord allows us to get in the next 15 minutes, I think. So I think I have about 12, 15 minutes left. Let's look at it. In the book of St. John, I will read that one for you. In the book of St. John, chapter 1, starting with verse 1, listen what the word said. And this is not the first time I had read that. I had read that way back before I was 19 years old. But it didn't make sense to me at that time. Now it is so real. Now it is so good. Now it is so strong. Now it's so believable. that I want to see if I what I can do to get the word to everybody I can get the word to. Listen to what he said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, I guess I need to quit right there. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, I'd like to look at this for a second and to say in 1 John chapter 1, what that is really saying is the Word of God, hear this, y'all, hear this, the Word of God is God, and God is the Word. You get it? You cannot have God without the Word. You cannot have the Word without God. So the bottom line is, it took years. And what really brought me to the reality was, first of all, is when Bob opened that little book, that little New Testament that he pulled out, and Bob was not only a white man, but he was a white. He didn't have very much color in him at all. He was just white. But oh, did the brother, was he anointed to share through a thick-headed guy who had ugliness in his heart toward anybody that was white. But Bob spoke to my heart and got me to doubting my doubt. And then finally, after I was overseas and gone to Japan, gone to Korea, and gone to Okinawa, and got ready to come home, and got in line, and by that time I had 2 stripes, I was a corporal. So they told me I could go home on an airplane because of my rank. But a few minutes later, after they had told me that, a white guy come up with more stripes than me, and he wanted to ride the plane. And oh, you could have heard me cursing from here to Okinawa. Oh, I was some kind of mad, and I was all kind of way back to thinking about white against black and all that. But ladies and gentlemen, I have you to know, if you're hating anybody, if you're hating anybody, black on white or white on black, or whatever, if you hate anybody, you're not pleasing God. I want you to know that. But what happened was, he got on the plane. 4 hours later, a call came into the orderly room that the plane had fallen in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and all of the people were killed. Guess what? 4 hours later, I would have been dead because I sure didn't want to get on that plane. But that, when I thought about that and heard what happened, then I put the two together and I no longer could doubt the fact of the reality of the Word of God. Could not doubt it anymore. Well, another scripture, Matthew chapter 8, verse 6 through 8. There was a guy came to Jesus, and when he came to Jesus, his servant was sick. And as his servant was sick, he came to Jesus and said, you know, my servant is sick to die. And I know that you can heal him. Would you heal my servant? And Jesus said, hold on for just a minute. And as soon as I get through with doing what I'm doing, I will go home with you and we will heal your servant. And the master said, no, sir, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house, but your word, get this, your word, if you tell me that my servant will be healed, I will take that word. Oh, shucks, I'm getting excited here. I will take that word to my servant, and I will get him well. So I am saying to you today that if you trust God's word, he will do everything he said. And I'm going to tell you something, it's better than good. So the reality of God's word is who God really is. Let me slip on down and talk about another scripture. Peter and John, this is in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And when Peter and John were on their way to the temple. And when they went on their way to the temple, they went by the gate, the beautiful gate. And when they went by there, here's this guy sitting there with a little cup in his hand, looking and asking people for money. And when Peter and John got there, they looked over at him. And Peter said this, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I'll give it to you. And then, you know, now here's what I'm thinking. We like to think of that, of getting people healed by praying a long prayer. But Peter really did not even pray. He just was so convinced and so convicted about the word of God until he knew that all he needed to do is to get the guy to understand and speak the word to him. And that's what he did. So Peter and John said, look on up. And when the guy looked at him and held his little cup up, Peter and John looked at him. Peter said, by the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now listen to this. He didn't stop there. Peter took his right hand and grabbed this man by his hand and pulled him up from his bed. And when he got up, his ankles took strength, his leg got strong, and he jumped straight up in the air and hollered, thank you, Lord, because of the fact of the reality of God's word, he was healed. Now let me move to Acts chapter 27 and verse 20 through 25. You remember when Paul was on the shipwreck, and for many days they didn't see the sunlight, couldn't see nothing. And when they couldn't see nothing, Paul said, all hope had gone that anybody could live. And the guys were getting ready to throw stuff overboard. And Paul said to him, don't do that. Just be still. Because last night, I heard from God by an angel of God who brought me the word and said, nothing is going to happen to us, even though we're going to lose the ship. So the reality of God's word, brothers and sisters, I'm going to close with this. I want you to know that I wish, and I know this don't make sense, I wish I could take back all those years that I doubted. But what I am doing right now is letting you know that the word of God is real. Don't let nobody fool you. Father, I come to you now. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak to my brothers and sisters, and even those who may have a question. And I would urge, Lord, that you would allow them to call into the radio station and ask Brother Melvin to give them my number if they have a concern, because I'd like to let them know that your word is real, therefore you are real, and all of us have a place in the kingdom. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen. God bless you. See you next time.